Dave, Elks fans are wondering, did you see anything positive in that game? Because, oh my, well, it was a record-setting game for all the wrong reasons for the Elks. Most points they've ever given up in a regular season game in franchise history, in any game, actually. And it was ugly from the start of the game right till the end. It was 42-6 at halftime. Like, it was over.
I mean, I thought James Wilder looked good. I mean, you asked me if there's any positive. That's one that kind of stood out. Look, and look, sometimes when you have a game like that, it's equally bad on both sides of the ball. I didn't think Edmonton's offense was terrible. You know, in the first quarter and a half, as the game was getting away from them, they made some mistakes, but it really, I think the game plan was kind of being taken out of their hands by the fact that their defense couldn't stop anybody. And, you know, it's funny, I was going through the depth charts today just trying to, you know, identify who those players were on the field, because there's so many that we don't recognize, particularly on defense. And, you know, they definitely have more names that you recognize on offense, and I think that showed in their performance. But I guess, you know, with Chris Jones being such a defense-first guy, and taking so much pride in the way his defenses play, it was really shocking to see one of his defenses, early stages as it may be, get shredded to that, you know, historic degree.
Yeah, it was crazy to watch. But man, if you're a Lions fan, you put the other foot here. Lions fans got to be like, oh my goodness, is Nathan Rourke the real deal here? Like, geez, like that guy was completed almost 90% of his passes, Dave. Like, you know what? And I know that the Elks defense is filled with a lot of rookies and not a lot of big names, so I understand that they had some injuries in the secondary. I get all that. But man, Nathan Rourke looked pretty good. And the Canadian fans got to be like, hey, this is quite nice.
It's amazing, you know, and I've been really fascinated by the way that the Lions have managed Nathan Rourke. And here's what I mean. You know, in the NFL, we see it all the time that you draft a young quarterback and it's just a matter of when, because he's so talented and you believe in him so much that he's going to ascend to the number one job within a year or two, no matter what. He's not going to have to earn it by his play. He's going to be given an opportunity because he's that special. We see that all the time in the NFL. Every quarterback who's taken in the first or even second round gets that treatment. We don't see that in the CFL very often. Usually it's, you know, you got to go in there and play when your time comes. And if you play well, you'll get another opportunity. And if you don't, you know, you may be out of the league very quickly. It's really a very sort of democratic league when it comes to quarterback play, and that, you know, performance means everything. Nathan Rourke didn't get that job based on performance because he only played three games.
Yeah.
He got that based on what, you know, basically evaluation. And that's, I say, way more common in the NFL. We just don't see quarterbacks anointed based on evaluation. And then for him to go out in week number one and absolutely live up to, you know, that kind of billing. I mean, you know, look, the Canadian thing is a real nice story, and people love to talk about it. But, like, just as a CFL player, I think the phenomena of what we're seeing and the way the Lions have managed this is really unique. That's what stands out to me more than the fact that he's Canadian.
Yeah, you started with the games Thursday, Friday, both very close games, came right down to the wire. Calgary had a big comeback as Winnipeg, you know, was able to continue on, although Ottawa kept it quite close. Then on Saturday, though, the Riders blew out Hamilton, and of course, BC absolutely demolished Edmonton. Which team of Calgary, Winnipeg, Saskatchewan, or BC, which one impressed you the most in week one?
Well, it's hard not to say BC when they, you know, light it up the way they do, and you see James Butler have the kind of game he did. But I feel like we almost have to put a bit of an asterisk on that one, because I think they had a bit of a free space on the bingo card. I mean, they were playing a team that was totally rebuilt, right, especially on the defensive side of the ball. So I have to say the Lions, I guess, just, you know, to be objective about it. But if we recognize, you know, the handicap it against the talent they were facing. Now, I think for me it might be Saskatchewan. Just, you know, like 8 sacks. You know, defensively, Hamilton couldn't do anything. We always get in these early season debates about, well, was that terrible offense by Hamilton or was that stifling defense by Saskatchewan? But I thought they really were, you know, impressive that way. And you know, they were aggressive. And offensively, you know, it was a tight football game for, you know, most of the time, but they made the plays they had to win the game. I think Saskatchewan maybe is sort of the team that I come out of the most impressed with, when I also figure that Hamilton's a team that we all think is going to be very strong in the East. And they really, you know, made them look like nothing at all, particularly when Saskatchewan was on defense.
And that's who the Elks face off this weekend, is Saskatchewan. And, you know, you mentioned that, oh, you know what, BC pumped the brakes because it's the free bingo space. Elks fans aren't going to like to hear that, Dave. But when I look at it, like, they brought in so many new faces, I was a little leery to begin the season. You know, I didn't think they could even be 500. I thought if they were a game or two under 500, that would be considered a win. But I know it's only week one. But, like, on the defensive side of the ball specifically, which is supposed to be Jones's forte, like, they got a lot of work to do.
Well, you know, it reminds me a little bit of Ottawa when Paul LaPolice went there, because Paul LaPolice was hired because they had been so woeful on offense. And then last year, you know, they were really good on special teams. They were not bad on defense, and the offense was terrible. Now, I don't think it was Paul's coaching. It, you know, their personnel, similar to what we're talking about, you know, Chris Jones didn't forget how to coach defense. He's got personnel out there that just isn't executing. Even his halftime interview with Farhan Lalji, I thought was really candid, where he was, you don't see coaches actually get that specific, where they start sort of explaining the X's and O's of how they're getting beat on defense, which he did. So, you know, I don't think Chris forgot how to coach defense. He just doesn't have the personnel to play the way he wants to play right now. And again, I think that, but that feeling of like, hey, isn't he supposed to be the defensive guy? It kind of reminds me of, you know, maybe some people were saying in Ottawa, wasn't LaPolice supposed to be the offensive guy? But similar situations, just personnel-wise, you know, they're just not there. And it'll be interesting to see. Football's, you know, in the CFL, it's a long season. With the bye weeks, you're, you know, 21 weeks. That's a long time. And it will be interesting as this goes along and Chris Jones gets doing his thing and starts to make personnel moves and such. You know, what we look back on this game and think, and look maybe about how many guys who, of the 12 who started on defense, you know, might be starting for this team in the back half of the schedule. It might not be everyone.
Well, that's the thing. Like, they'll look to make changes all season long, but that, you know, that's difficult to, you can make the changes, but you're also making the changes looking ahead to next year almost a little bit, Dave.
Yeah, I think it, you know, I don't, coaches don't like to admit this, and I saw Chris. There was a pro day at University of Buffalo, and I think I made, you know, some reference to there being modest expectations for this season, and he corrected me right away, because that's, you know, that's who he is. That's how he's wired, right? He's never going to say, yeah, we're going to have a, you know, lousy year while we evaluate everybody. But I think, you know, when you take over a team that has much turnover and was kind of as low a point as the Elks were last year, it can be almost like your first year is almost like one long training camp where you're just evaluating and try to identify the pieces that you're going to build this with. You can't do that in 2.5 weeks of a CFL training camp and 2 preseason games. I mean, most teams are evaluating, you know, a few players at a few positions, truly. Everybody else they know about. But in a team like Edmonton, you know, the evaluation process has got to be so extensive. It's really, it undoubtedly is going into the regular season and may take up a good chunk of the regular season, but I think, you know, deep in his heart, Chris Jones knows this wasn't going to be a Grey Cup year, but that's obviously what they're building towards.
And one last one for you, Dave. We had Coach Jones on Thursday or Friday, I think it was, and he talked about his frustrations with kind of the archaic rule. And on the depth chart, he had to list Trey Ford as a receiver because he qualifies as a 7, but he doesn't qualify as a 21 as a third-string quarterback. That yeah. seems like such an easy change. Do you think it'll get made? Why hasn't it been made?
No, and I'll tell you why. You got to go back to when Canadian quarterbacks didn't count at all in the ratio, not for the 7, not for the 21, which is about 4 years ago, okay?
Yeah.
At that point, it was actually Brandon Bridge who, when he played, spoke out and said, hey, like when I'm under center taking snaps on the field, how in the world can I not count as a Canadian?
Yes.
And everybody looked at it and said, you know what? He's right. If you're on the field counting snaps or taking snaps, you should count as a Canadian. So the reason they left the backup so they didn't is there is a belief
that they
in
would
the
just...
league. Yeah. They would
okay.
just be a placeholder, right? And that basically teams would use that as a position to just count a Canadian, and the actual net effect of it would be fewer Canadians playing football because you use it to get an extra American. I interviewed a GM about this one time and said, what would you do if you could have a, if a third, they made the third quarterback Canadian? And he said, we'd sign a guy. He doesn't even have to come to practice if you're giving me an extra American on the field for signing a third string Canadian quarterback. I'll do it, but like, we're not going to use him, basically, is what he said. So I think the rule would get abused.
Okay. All right. I appreciate it. Davey, have yourself a good one. We will talk to you soon.
Thanks, man. Take care.